Hello, everyone. My name is Matthew Brown, and I'm your host for Left in Appalachia. Today, I'm joined by Lifetime Appalachians Benny Kayidi and Scotty Branham. Say hi, guys.
What's up?
What up?
So before we get into the episode today, I wanted to note something. We have a Patreon page now. Obviously, with the show, I want to continue to make content with no strings attached. We don't want to feel like we have to sugarcoat anything or make content for the pursuit of ad revenue or money due to the type of content we're making. Advertisers really won't work with us. While I'm not going to charge for podcast episodes or listening or watching the podcast, your support would be greatly appreciated. It helps me continue to make the podcast what it is, a socialist Appalachian podcast. The link to our Patreon is patreon.com/leftinappalachia. Again, it's patreon.com/leftinappalachia. All right. Controversial episode, guys. Kneeling for the anthem. I could probably say the word kneeling in the podcast and you'd get the point. It's really dividing everybody right now. Some people think it's an unrighteous sin against the religion of Americanism. Others think it's a brave protest for a just cause. A little bit of background that everyone knows, but probably didn't realize how long ago it was. Kneeling as a protest, kneeling during the national anthem, as a protest during sport matches, began in 2016. It was Colin Kaepernick. He was a San Francisco 49ers quarterback who sat and later knelt during the national anthem before his team's preseason games in 2016. January 1st, 2017 was the last time that Kaepernick ever played an NFL game. There's some debate as to whether he was removed from the team due to his protest or his actual skill. But let's be honest here, guys. Take a look at the NFL itself. Other than maybe like Major League Baseball, NASCAR, it's one of the most American sports that there is. I think you guys would agree with that as well. The NBA, the MLS, golf. these things aren't as, NBA has tournaments and things like that. MLS has tournaments and things like that, but like the Super Bowl, the World Series, big races like Daytona 500. These are very American, events. I'm going to be completely honest and tell you, I don't watch the NFL. I occasionally will watch, Super Bowl for advertisements, which is ironic considering how anti-capitalist I am. But I don't ever buy anything from the ads. I think they're entertaining. Imagine if those people who made those ads actually could do something they wanted to do instead of advertising for small hard pieces of chocolate that gives kids diabetes. But that's another topic for another day. I don't watch the NFL. So, I don't know if you guys keep up with it or kept up with it when he was in the game. I'm not here to give an opinion on Kaepernick's physical ability or his skill at playing football. Mainly because I don't watch football and I don't know anything about what kind of player he was. What I do know for a fact is that he kneeled for the United States national anthem in protest to call attention to issues of racial inequality and police brutality, which lately we've seen a lot of. This was in 2016. I was researching it and looking at the dates, and I thought, there's no way it's been 5 years. But it's been 5 years since Kaepernick knelt. obviously, both of you guys know a lot has happened since then. Kaepernick's movement definitely expanded past the NFL. Over the past 5 years, we saw a handful of athletes kind of moving. Haven't really, as far as my knowledge goes, seen anything
thing, actually.
Confederate flag thing? Like, them coming out in support of you know, again, and they definitely didn't kneel for the anthem. I can tell you that for sure. You know, the Appalachian country have been able to just kind of sit back and say, well, you know, it's getting a little bit too close to home for a lot of them. They're getting very uncomfortable because now their beloved, you know, college basketball, college football, you know, these things that weren't really politicized, are kind of caught in the middle. And you have universities trying to make decisions around them. I know that Virginia Tech's coach said that he and his team would not be kneeling. That's a team, you know, out of Blacksburg, Virginia. They're, I would consider them in Appalachia and the New River Valley. But what I want to talk about today, in a little bit more depth, is East Tennessee State University. It's located in Johnson City. It's right off the Holston River. Very, very Republican area. While the I'll give it credit, the campus at ETSU is more diverse than the actual city or Tri-Cities area, you know, Bristol, Kingsport, Johnson City. But I think it's really interesting the response from the students regarding what I'm about to talk about. Locals and the university itself, which have been, to me, and I'm sure you guys would agree, disappointing. So, Benny, Scotty, do you guys like college basketball?
I'll be honest, man. I'm not an avid viewer of any sport in particular.
I love basketball as a whole. So I love college. I love March Madness, bro. I love the NBA. I love all of it. I love watching basketball.
So, do you guys have, do you have a favorite team?
Pelicans. Actually. Oh, you want to go first?
Pelicans. I just like the color of the team.
Scotty likes the big bird that flaps its wings.
Correct.
For me, it's always been either the Raptors or, more popular, the Lakers. Definitely the Lakers.
What about college?
For college, I don't really have a specific team I like. I just love watching college football, basketball.
Absolutely, man. Well, my family is from Harlan County, and I really grew up watching Kentucky play sports, so University of Kentucky basketball especially. And, you know, a lot of people were really disheartened when Coach Calipari of the men's basketball team at the University of Kentucky kneeled with his players in solidarity with them or with their protests. A lot of people said they wouldn't watch it anymore. Calipari's gone. And, you know, I think it's very interesting as things kind of progress to see, you know, if conservatives keep losing these things that they don't want, quote unquote, politicized, because we can, you know, we can debate whether it's political or not. Is it political to say, hey, I don't want police to kill black people, please? Is that, you know, political? Sadly, that term is up for debate. You know, or, you know, up for debate the way that they ask that. In my opinion, you shouldn't have to ask nicely for police to stop killing black people or killing people in general, but especially the black minority. And, you know, as conservatives are watching, you know, seeing everything around them kind of devolve into politics, they really have to get off their high horse and come to the realization, you know, sports, first, these players aren't getting paid, right? They have the right to individual expression, right? They're not the property of the NCAA or whatever league that they play in, or conference, I mean. I think that's an important thing to know, because a lot of people like to argue that these players reflect the university values of whatever school they're playing for, and you know, while I think that is true to an extent, you know, their actions, their behavior reflects, you know, the university in some ways. I, you know, all the university has to say is, we make no comment on the player's choice to kneel or stand or whatever else the protest is, because first, you know, it's not violent, and second, you know, the university doesn't have to come and make a stand one way or the other. I would absolutely encourage every university to take the side of students. And when it heats up and gets to the point that students are being harassed for their belief, or even for going to a school with that belief, or with players, you know, choosing that belief, I think the university should obviously step in and say, we support our players' right, the First Amendment right, to do what they want. Which to them, protesting is protesting while kneeling. So to kind of come back around, in February of 2021, the East Tennessee State University men's basketball team took a knee during the national anthem at a game in Chattanooga. As all three of us know, it sparked really strong reactions both for and against the gesture. Interestingly, as far as I'm aware, the ETSU men's basketball team taking a knee had an effect that other colleges did not. Shortly after the game, 27 Republican state senators signed a letter encouraging state university leaders, including Chattanooga, ETSU. I'm not sure if there were other schools involved or not. Maybe the University of Tennessee. I might be wrong on that, so don't quote me on that one. They encouraged state university leaders to adopt policies in their athletic department that prohibited any such actions moving forward. So let's talk about that for a minute. What right do the leaders of our state have to tell people they're not allowed to, you know, use their First Amendment right, regardless of what they're using their First Amendment right for, whether it's I like eating babies or I don't think black people should be killed by police. You know, it could be anything because, you know, it's their right. So what do you, you know, what are your guys' thoughts about that?
Well, I'll go first, if y'all don't mind. So, like, I've always been for free speech, right? Freedom to protest, freedom to say whatever I want type stuff, right? And just hearing about that, hearing how they want all these, they want, see, is schools in, is it just Eastern Tennessee or in this general area?
So I'm actually not sure. I probably should have looked into that a little bit more. I know it's Eastern Tennessee. I know there's a Bristol representative from Bristol, Tennessee, but it very well may have been the entire state. I'm not positive on that, no.
Well, regardless whether it's East Tennessee, the entire state of Tennessee, these senators shouldn't be telling the players what they can and can't do, you know, trying to restrict what they are allowed to, how they're allowed to express themselves. Everybody is allowed to exhibit their First Amendment right. You know what I'm saying?
Like, absolutely. And you know, if it kills me, the Republican conservative hypocrisy regarding free speech, because they want free speech for them and their beliefs, but they do not want free speech for anything that makes them uncomfortable. Whether, you know, it's an abortion protest, or an anti-war protest, or an anti-military protest, or, you know, whatever else that they may, you know, disagree with. I can't fathom how they can, you know, one week, you know, complain, oh my God, Donald Trump lost Twitter. You know, he doesn't have a right to free speech when that's a private business choosing to do what it wants in a free market economy that they're so, you know, head over heels for. And then actively try and take away the First Amendment right of basketball players, in Tennessee. I don't get it. I mean, someone make it make sense to me, you know? To continue, Stuart Harris, a constitutional law professor at Lincoln Memorial University in Harrogate, Tennessee, stated, quote, "This is a very, very serious matter and very dangerous, constitutionally speaking," quote, end quote. Harris said further, quote, "If I'd been advising them, if I'd been their lawyer," talking about the Republicans, "I would have strongly recommended that they had not signed it," end quote. There you have it. A constitutional law professor, you know, in Eastern Tennessee, in Appalachia, saying, hey, I don't think that's a good idea. You know, I don't know what the political beliefs of Harris are, but it doesn't matter. You know, political belief should be what you think should happen to, you know, what you believe about the economy or other things. But what it's devolved into is, do black people have the right, you know, to live against a police officer? Does a police officer have the right to shoot an unarmed black person or other minority who has committed no crime? Are police executioners now? It's devolved to the point that things that shouldn't be political, saying Black Lives Matter shouldn't be a political statement, but here we are.
They're debating, right? They're saying that the lives of America's own citizens, right? Saying stop killing black people, stop Asian hate. They're saying this stuff is political, right? They're saying, oh, we shouldn't talk about this. Oh, leave it alone. It's too political type stuff, you know? And it's bullshit. It really is.
No, I absolutely agree. And, you know, last time I had Cameron on, we were kind of talking about the effectiveness of the police in general. And, you know, you can believe what you want regarding defunding the police or abolishing the police. But you can't sit there and say nothing can be changed, nothing should be changed. You know, police are ill-equipped for violent situations, but trained as if every situation turned violent. You know, they go to mental health crises with a gun at their hip. Go to routine traffic stops with a gun at their hip. And, you know, in the case of George Floyd, some police officers believe that they can get away with murder in broad daylight. And as the Chauvin trial continues, I really hope, for the sake of any type, any resemblance of justice in the United States, that Chauvin is found guilty of murder. Because if he isn't, you know, there will be, it won't just be kneeling for an anthem. Conservatives will have to face the flaws of the system that they're so proud of.
There is something I read, actually, just touching up on that police subject a little bit more, how you have these policemen, they're going through these mental health crises, and you're giving them a gun, you know what I'm saying? It was something I read, actually, online, and this is, like, something that was somewhat of, like, a shock to someone from Europe coming to America. So, I was doing a little bit of research just in the state of Tennessee. Policemen go through 4 12-week training courses right before they become a police officer. And it was a culture shock for someone from Europe because they're from Germany. In Germany, these policemen, they go to college to become police officers. They're taking 4 year, it's taking them 4 years to get their degree. You actually have to get, I think it was a criminal justice degree to even consider becoming a police officer. So they're just sitting, we're in America, they're sitting these guys down in like a 12-week class, and then they just hand them a gun after they take 4 of those classes, compared to someone taking 8 whole semesters in Germany. You know what I'm saying? And
absolutely. And it's the police system that we have now is so broken. I mean, barbers go to school longer than police officers have to. Become a barber, you have to train more than a police officer.
I don't know very many good barbers either, so.
You don't? Wait, I'm sorry, I didn't hear what you said.
I don't know very many good barbers either.
For real? So that's good to know.
Absolutely. And I can already hear the conservatives or people who argue that they shouldn't kneel for the flag because that doesn't have anything to do with police officers. And I'll rebuttal that. First, you know, people complain that that's not the time or place, but I completely disagree. You know, Black Lives Matter and other organizations, whether it be, you know, the Native American tribes protesting oil pipelines peacefully, like we saw over the summer, many different peaceful protests ending violently due to the police, you know, shooting rubber bullets or tear gas. And then, you know, violent riots in the Northwest. It's almost to the point that they're not, you know, the government, the people, the average suburban, you know, conservative. Or even at this point, you know, Appalachia, which is so red that you can taste it. The wrong red, you know, Republican. it's getting to the point that, you know, having a protest, you know, at ETSU or having a protest at University of Kentucky or setting up a protest in a city, they don't listen. They don't care. And as far as, you know, it doesn't have anything to do with the flag, you have to try and comprehend. The situation's complicated. I get it. But I know many veterans that completely support kneeling movements. I've heard many in the area of the Tri-Cities supporting the kneeling movement at ETSU in solidarity with the basketball players, because that's what they fought for. In their minds, they fought for the right freedom to do that. Exactly. Yeah. You know, again, we can debate all day whether or not the military is fighting for freedom or for oil or for billionaire corporations' pockets. I have my opinions on that. Regardless, I want to make it clear, and I'm pretty sure both of you guys had the same opinion. I don't have anything against veterans serving in the military. What I do have issues with is the state that the military and the police represent.
Yeah, I hear, you know, there's people in there, like, I'm one of them, they're like, fuck the military. It's not fuck the veterans, you know what I'm saying? Like, the military itself, they draft these 18-year-old kids fresh out of high school and send them to the Middle East, fill them with trauma, they get their arm blown off for their country, whatever, and they just send them back to the United States like it's nothing. And lots of times veterans aren't even cared for. So I respect all veterans, you know what I'm saying? I respect the veterans who went, because they truly believe they're going out, they're fighting for our freedom, and I respect that. I respect them, like, they're heroes.
Whether they are or not, you know, some of them really believe in the cause, and then realize, or don't realize, you know, again, like you said, and like I've been saying, I don't have an issue with veterans at all. And many veterans have come out in solidarity with the people that knelt during the anthem. So I want to make that clear. The kneeling against the anthem isn't a flipping the bird to the flag, right, or whatever you think the country stands for. Because I guarantee you, you know, if you ask George Floyd's brother or mother, or, you know, anyone who's had to deal with the effects of the police state that we live in, they would disagree with what you believe, you know, the American flag stands for. And, you know, the more you study history and politics, the more you kind of realize there's the issue isn't the people of the United States. It's what they are, you know, I don't want to say tricked, but I mean, when you're raised, you know, as a kindergartner to say the Pledge of Allegiance all the way through high school and only taught that America is the best country on the planet and that capitalism is the economic form that'll ever work. I mean, this is what you end up with, is a controversial statement being Black Lives Matter.
And another thing I want to say, right, and this is from personal experience, this was happening at my school. I went to a school with lots of minority kids. I went to a school where lots of these kids' parents, they're immigrants. They're coming from countries in the Middle East. They're coming from Kurdistan, Iraq. They're coming from Mexico, Guatemala, you know what I'm saying? And a lot of the things that we were probably about 10 years old, and this is when, that's probably when it all hits us that the American dream isn't a dream meant to be achievable for minorities. It's white America. It's a white American's dream. The American dream was only meant for white Americans. And that's just something that we have to process at such an early age, you know, that's why lots of African Americans, lots of Middle Easterners, lots of Hispanic people, they don't stand up for the flag. I know that nobody at my school, none of them stood up for the flag. They, if they knelt, they would kneel during the basketball games, you know? And that's just because they truly see America. They see the struggles their parents went through. I see the struggles my parents went through personally. Like, it took my own mother 10 years to get her citizenship. Like, so I'm watching these struggles. I'm watching what America's doing to my parents, my friends' parents. And if you think that I'm going to stand up for the national anthem, you think I'm about to pledge allegiance to the United States of America, I'm sorry, but you got me fucked up. And like,
absolutely, man.
Another thing, I'm sorry, just like,
no, that's okay, go ahead.
Like, if we, let's say we didn't do the Pledge of Allegiance, you know what I'm saying? Let's say we didn't do the Pledge of Allegiance. If China did the Pledge of Allegiance, if China or Russia were pledging allegiance to their flags, we would call them brainwashed. We would say that they're dirty communists, you know what I'm saying? That's literally what would be happening if we didn't pledge allegiance to our flag.
Absolutely. I mean, like, you know, maybe North Korea is not the best example, but, you know, people will watch these parades that they have in North Korea and they say, oh my goodness, you know, the entire population is so brainwashed. And then go out with their families with American flag decor, everything on the 4th of July.
No, yeah.
And give, you know, veterans horrible, you know, PTSD filled nights because of, you know, the fireworks and things like that. Now, obviously, that's a bit of a broad example, but, you know, I mean, some people feel like if it's America, it's good, and if it's anything else, it has to be bad. And I'm here to tell you, you know, I have Agent Orange in my veins, you know? My grandfather served in Vietnam and came in contact with Agent Orange, and it's in my, you know, it's passed down generationally. It hasn't affected me in any major way, but you look at Vietnamese kids who are born with, you know, one eye or no arms or horribly disformed, and there's no one to blame but the United States. And it's not the veterans that didn't have a choice but to go, or the people who were tricked into going. It's the people that run the state that, you know, committed these atrocities. And, you know, that's a big example. You know, the entire Vietnam War, that's a huge example. But even in a smaller example, the murder of George Floyd, and people are so stuck in their ways that they can't even stop for a second and say, look, I'm not a minority. I've been in a, you know, upper middle-ish class my entire life. Or they haven't. You know, I think the biggest success of the United States is convincing the proletariat, the workers, the working class, to be against each other.
Yeah.
To say, you know, that different races are more successful, or you know, systemic racism, to pit people against each other. You know, it's sad, especially in Appalachia. And I think it's even more sad that people get so up in arms about protecting, you know, a state, not the people of the state, but a state, the United States itself, the government itself. They feel like they need to protect it, when in reality, if it came, you know, down to this person with the Blue Lives Matter flag and the Red Lives Matter flag on their truck, or, you know, a couple $1 million of oil in the Middle East, guess which one they're taking every single time.
Another thing I want to say, like, what was I about to say? It was, okay, with the Blue Lives Matter stuff, you know what I'm saying? And I actually saw, it was a TikTok. Some dude was basically, he was, like, wearing a Blue Lives Matter flag. And this dude called him racist. And he said, how am I racist? I just support Blue Lives Matter, right? Well, what people, that's me seeing that let me know, right? People don't realize that this is that's a direct protest to my protest. By you wearing a Blue Lives Matter flag, I don't care if you say you're not racist, by you wearing a Blue Lives Matter flag, what you're not getting is that is a direct protest to my protest.
It's actively showing, you know, ignorance to what's happening.
Yeah, you're like, they're against. You're literally saying you're against me. You're against Black Lives Matter. You're what you're essentially saying. By you wearing that Blue Lives Matter flag, by you parading that Blue Lives Matter's flag on the back of your pickup truck, that's basically you telling me, fuck Black Lives. Okay, police lives matter more.
Exactly. And I think it's even funnier, you know, the same people that fly the Blue Lives Matter flag also will fly, you know, the Don't Tread on Me flag. Or the Don't Tread on Me snake, you know, the yellow flag with the snake. And it's like, do you have any concept of, like, do you stand for anything? Because, like, who's going to be treading on your rights? Here's a hint. It's on your truck, right? Like if you genuinely, I don't understand how Appalachia has gone from such a labor moving anti-capitalist and anti-police area, you know, all the way back to coal companies, you know, where police would force, you know, shoot protesters, bloody Harlem, Battle of Blair Mountain, the police and the military would kill strikers in Appalachia, regardless of their race. You know, racism was obviously a thing then, but now it's specifically targeting a minority group, and Appalachians don't have the gall to say, I am in solidarity with my Black neighbor. I am going to actively support them and let my government, the state that I pay taxes to, that I work in, that I live in, I'm going to show them we will not stand for the injustice of killing Black people by the hands of the state. So again, you know, just to recap, Black people, the basketball players, me, Benny, Scotty, we're not against veterans, okay? We're not against the people who fought, the people who don't know any better. And that's a, you know, there are some people who go into the military with the ambition of, I want to shoot terrorists, which in reality means I want to kill brown people in the Middle East.
Yeah.
And those people should obviously be frowned upon, but a large group of the population has been, you know, convinced that they're fighting for freedom when they're not. But to summarize my point, the United States flag doesn't stand for the wars and the freedom that came with it, if you can call it freedom when it's in reality capitalist slavery. But if you call it freedom, if that's what you call freedom, police are a part of that state that you are standing up and recognizing and pledging allegiance to and saluting and respecting. And when a arm of the state is actively targeting and attacking incredibly disproportionately to almost any other race, especially the majority Caucasian, the disparity between the two is bounding. When you stand, you're supporting police brutality. If you're saluting allegiance to a state that actively kills minorities, then you are in allegiance with the police and all of their actions, whether it's a couple of bad apples or the entirety of the, you know, enforcement.
In touching up on the back on the kneeling, all that, right? this is something that I hear from conservatives a lot. This is something that they would say. They were saying, I remember when Kaepernick kneeled during the game. This is something that I was saying a lot. They're like, oh, why are black people trying to make sports political, et cetera, et cetera. Not realizing, though, throughout black history, especially in sports, it has always been political. You know, we have Muhammad Ali. He was a, like, he changed his name to Muhammad Ali from Cassius Clay because he did not want the white man's name, the name that the white man gave him. You know what I'm saying? He was a,
sure.
He literally went to jail, right?
Over, and, you know.
Oh, no, you can go ahead. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, you're right. I mean, you know, Jesse Owens was a protest at the Olympics in Nazi Germany. You know, the fact that he won. I mean, it's been like this forever. It's just they've chosen to ignore it.
Mind you, Jesse Owens, right, for the time that where he was in the Olympics, sponsorships in, like, endorsements were hard for an African-American to get. So by him, like, not going on any more tours for the United States, none of that, not playing sports no more for the United States, this was him giving up his livelihood, right, to make a point, to make a statement.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying?
And I mean, he single-handedly dismantled, you know, the white eugenics that Nazi Germany within the next decade would come to bring in, you know, the horror of the world. Their belief in eugenics and race, you know, was proven wrong at the Olympics when a black man wins the gold medal against the quote-unquote superior Aryan race. So no, I mean, you know, it's been like this for a while, and African Americans and many other minorities, but in this case, you know, African Americans and sport, things haven't always been equal, and they still aren't equal. And you know, one argument that I hear is, well, it's not the time and place to do it. But we've tried other times, and we've tried other places, you know? So what else do you want us to do? We've protested peacefully. They don't listen. We've picketed and sent letters and phone calls to our politicians. They do not care.
What they're saying when they say, oh, it's not the time or place, what they're trying to say is, it's never the time and place to talk about black injustices and injustice in the police system, you know what I'm saying? There's
absolutely,
they just don't want to talk about it. They choose to completely ignore it. They, like, there's American, I'll say conservatives, they choose to ignore the children in cages, you know what I'm saying? They choose to ignore the social injustices going on. They choose to ignore the wealth inequality throughout the United States of America. And my question is, why? Why do you choose to live in the dark rather than...
It's uncomfortable.
Educate yourselves and then actually make a change. Because what people don't realize, we can make a change. It just takes everybody to come stand up and help.
Everybody on board. Absolutely. And that's the point. That's the bottom line, right? You know, if no matter what your political beliefs are, if you are truly not racist, then you should be coming in support of a First Amendment act, right? They are expressing themselves, freedom of expression. They are allowed to do that constitutionally. And for 27 different Republican state senators to say they can't is unconstitutional. But second, all of Appalachia needs to come in solidarity with the ETSU basketball team. And all of the United States, working class population, upper class, lower class, minorities, majorities, need to come and support and recognize and educate themselves with the fact that black lives are discriminated against in the state. Police are not judge, jury, and executioner. Period.
there should be no reason why when I get stopped by a policeman, why I'm scared for my life, why I'm scared as fuck to have confrontations with police officers. That shouldn't be a reason for me. Why am I scared of the people who are supposed to be helping us? Why am I scared of the people who are meant to save us? You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. And you know, one big thing, you know, the law in the United States, as we've seen, you know, over and over again, doesn't apply to some, which in reality means the law doesn't mean anything. If police kill or arrest people for doing something and face no repercussions, then that effectively is the law of the land. And not only that, but because police kill people, even on the suspicion that they have a firearm, then the Second Amendment, firearm ownership, is effectively illegal. The same goes for protests, or otherwise using any kind of anti-police free speech. You know, if you believe in the Bill of Rights, then you should absolutely support any... You should not try and prevent or stop. You don't even have to actively support. You should not try to actively prevent and stop a First Amendment action. I mean, again, you know, it's not against veterans. It's not against the people of the United States. But as Appalachians and as United States citizens, or people in the United States, we need to come together and let the government know. If Chauvin gets off free, it's going to be bad.
I'm going to say something right now also, right? History repeats itself, you know what I'm saying? There have been peaceful protests, right? But everybody, you can see, it's a pattern throughout history. When peaceful protests do not work, there is civil unrest within a nation, and that's when things get bad. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. You know, people think the civil rights movement was Martin Luther King Jr. I mean, I talked about this episode as well, but they think, you know, Martin Luther King Jr. got a big group of people, walked down Pennsylvania Avenue with pickets and signs, and then ended racism. And you know, the history books in American schools, they don't like to show the fact that police officers killed people and attacked people with dogs and rubber bullets and batons.
History books also, they don't like to show, they also don't, they talk about slavery. They're like, oh, slavery was bad, you know. That's not the half of it. Slavery wasn't just bad. It was a dark time for anyone with darker skin pigmentation.
Any pigment other than European.
Yeah. When I say this, this is not an exaggeration where a black person was being used for literally anything you can think of. Whether that is gruesome or not, they were being used for it. They were using black African American skin as covers for books. I believe that actually someone had bring in a book to an antique store, and it turns out that the book was actually the skin of an African-American slave from the 1800s. In Florida, African-American babies were being thrown inside the waters and used to lure out the alligators so that they could kill the alligators and use them for alligator skin boots. Where you have African-Americans, they're literally being tailored into furniture. There would be slave owners as a way to assert dominance on their slaves, would find the man of the house, you know, with the slaves, gather up all his friends, all his family in a room, and then rape him in front of everybody, including his children, just to assert dominance.
And, you know, the final point before I wrap up the podcast episode here, because I'm really, you know, this is a really good conversation, and it's one that needs to be had more often. And you know, I'd love to do an entire episode about the mistreatment of African Americans throughout the United States history. It'd probably be a 4 or 5 hour episode. You know, we might have to divide it up into parts.
I have lots to tell you about that.
Absolutely. But you know, the bottom line the United States likes to frown upon Nazi Germany for the Holocaust, or Cambodia for the Cambodian genocide, or Rwanda, or the Belgian Congo, or the Japanese cruelty during World War II, the rape of Nanking, without reckoning and pretending that it's in just in the past, the issues of indigenous genocide and the issues of African American slavery and the issues of Asian hate crime. It's not in the past. We're not in a completely equal, loving society.
Yeah. Let's see. Ruby Bridgers. People think, the civil rights movement happened so long ago. Ruby Bridgers, the first African American girl to attend a predominantly white school in Southern America, is only 66 right now. This happened 60 years ago, where the first black person was allowed inside a predominantly white school, and even then they were sending death threats. They were holding up a casket with a black baby in it, wishing death upon a six-year-old girl. And what people fail to realize, lots of the people who are doing this, these are the people sitting inside of positions of power in the Senate. These are people in positions of power in the government. These are the people who you let create your laws.
And again, this is why the people, the minorities, and their supporters are kneeling against a national anthem or a pledge of allegiance for a state that allows something like that to occur. And I mean, you know, it's heartbreaking, to learn history, because the more you study history, the more you study, political history, the more uncomfortable you feel. You begin to realize that nothing is as it's taught. And if history makes you feel good when you study it, then you're not studying the right history, period.
Another thing. This is just, since we're planning to wrap up soon, this is just a couple things for anyone listening. You know, if, like, you want to really learn about the atrocities that go on, if you want to really educate yourselves on the history of the systematic oppression of African Americans, of just minorities in general, right, there's lots of resources online that can help you, you know. One of them that can get you started, a topic that I'll tell everybody about, because I'm from the Congo. I'm African, Democratic Republic of Congo. This was a silent Holocaust that many people don't even know about. It had about 4 million deaths, I believe it was. It was bad. Okay, it was a legitimate Holocaust that happened within Africa itself that lots of people don't even know about. Just search up the Rubber Genocide. King Leopold, just King of Belgium, just educate yourselves on them, search it up. These are things that were going on just 100 years ago, all so that countries like us, like the United States, countries like France, countries like the United Kingdom could progress, right?
Absolutely.
The progress we got, America is another thing that I hear conservatives say a lot, where they say that how they built this country, you know.
Or that capitalism is the reason that this country is so successful.
Yeah.
It's not.
This country, no joke, the main reason for slaves was so that they could do the dirty work, you know what I'm saying? So that they could do the work so that white people didn't have to. So this country, quite literally, even today, it's still the same thing we see today, where Hispanic people, right? And I be like, Hispanic people are depended on to do lots of the work that we need, you know, building houses, mowing lawns, shit like that, you know. And this is shit that it's a recurring thing throughout America, where they rely on a minority group to do all the work so that they don't have to, so that the white man doesn't have to. But this country was built on first off, it was built over the graves of minorities, and it was built by minorities.
It was built on the backs of slaves and indigenous tribes and other minorities.
I'm sorry.
Educating. No, it's okay. Go ahead.
It's just, this is a topic I'm serious about, you know, and like, another thing is another argument that people talk about a lot whenever you bring up slavery in America so that they can downplay slavery, which is they had slaves in Europe, which is true and not true at the same time. Those were indentured servants. And another thing, they weren't being oppressed for the color of their skin. They were oppressed purely because of their wealth. You know what I'm saying? How much money.
Right, class disparity.
Yeah, and also they weren't, you know, it's a class disparity. That's something that we've seen throughout history, you know, a lot. You know what I'm saying? But people use that as an excuse to downplay the severity of racism and slavery, which it's
severe. Yeah. And the issue is a lot of Appalachians are afraid of reckoning with the horrors of slavery and the injustices against minorities, whether it be in Appalachia or anywhere else. And you know, you're right. Absolutely. Try your very best to educate yourself on as much as you can, because the more you study and the more you learn, you begin to learn that the beliefs of the United States are less about the people living in it and more about the pockets of a small minority. You know, there will be excuses every day, all the time, for slavery or for whatever other atrocity you think that the United States has committed, because they don't want to reckon with it. And that's something that we have to actively fight against. That's our responsibility as civilians of the United States. And it's our responsibility as comrades of all racial groups suffering in the United States. The last thing I want to say regarding, you know, all of that, that's a very good insight into, you know, a bit why the United States, or excuse me, basketball players and athletes are kneeling. Obviously, it's not just, you know, something that happened 200 years ago, but something that we're still reckoning with today, and are many are actively choosing not to accept the truth on. You know, there have been other horrific atrocities that have happened to minorities, such as you know, Native Americans being forced to have their tubes tied so they can't have any more children after a certain age. You know, forcing African American women in prisons to become unfertilized. It's nothing new. To end the episode, the head coach of ETSU's basketball team, his name is Jason Shea. His team finished 13-12 overall and 8-7 in the Southern Conference. He recently won an award as best new head coach in the NCAA, I believe. Recently, on March 30th, Shea resigned as head coach of ETSU's men's basketball team after just one season. While his resignation letter and announcement, as well as the university's announcement, mentioned nothing regarding the protests, it's obvious. I mean, this guy lost his job because he stood in solidarity with his athletes, and that's sad, and that's something we shouldn't just sit down and take. Let ETSU know that this isn't a joke. This isn't something that, you know, they're just going to be able to brush under the rug. This isn't something that President Nolan, president of the university, is going to be able to just, you know, put in the back of his mind and never think about again, because it's here. And they need to reckon again with the truth about the United States, which is, it's not a kind place if you're not white and rich.
I have one comment.
Go ahead, man.
This is specifically about Mr. Nolan. No, and it was disappointing, really, just seeing originally he was actually all for, he was in support of the kneeling, but it's sad to see that he had to fold. He got pressured by Tennessee senators, you know,
and private donors as well.
Yeah, so it's like, it's really a shame to see that, just like, just how much money impacts,
how much of a spineless coward he is.
he's a spineless coward. He's a fucking worm, a literal dog to the Tennessee government, you know what I'm saying? But it's also just a sad example of just how much control money gives someone.
Right.
And it's like a shame to really to see that shit still happening now, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you know, again, like I said, people don't really realize racism didn't end in the 60s. Inequality didn't end in the 60s as much as the suburban family in downtown Johnson City, or you know, Lexington, Kentucky, or, you know, even the higher ends of poorer places in the country, and in Appalachia, don't want to realize inequality is real. That's all we have for today. Benny, I really appreciate you being on. I want to get to note one more time that we do have a Patreon page. It's patreon.com/leftinappalachia. You can follow me on Twitter at Mattachu Brown. We're going to be making a Twitter for Left in Appalachia, the podcast itself, soon, which I'm excited about. So if you guys would like, you can go follow those things. That's all from me. Do you have anything else you'd like to say?
I just have some closing points, you know, and this is specifically on white people's ignorance to racism, which I will say, I know, like, this whole time I was kind of making it seem like it's all white people's fault, you know what I'm saying? But, like, it's like, in today, I'm talking about, like, in our current generation, oh, it's all white people's fault. That's not what I'm saying, because a lot of it, a lot of the ignorance that white people have to slavery, to racial matters, it's also lies heavily in the public schools. I was talking with one of my friends. He's from Greenville County, and they weren't teaching him, basically. And they touched the basics on slavery. They were slaves, you know. They picked cotton, and that's all they did. That's all the slaves did. We just made them pick cotton, bro. That's it. And he didn't know nothing about the alligator babies. He didn't know nothing about the rape against African American males. He didn't know nothing about their skin literally being torn off and used as coverings for books, you know. And that's not his fault. That lies on, he wasn't, there's a severe lack of education on racial matters in public schools, and that's also something that needs to change. It's many,
again, a fault of the state, you know.
Yeah,
you can't blame a population for not knowing any better. And the, again, the only thing that we can do is educate and agitate. That that's the two things that we as socialists and we as supporters of the movement need to be aware of, be a part of, is educating and agitating. It's huge. So, but anyways, I, you know, I'll have you on again, Benny, absolutely, to make an episode about, you know, just a, you know, we could take an hour and a half to talk about educating, or, excuse me, take an hour or an hour and a half to educate people just on some of the injustices that were within slavery, other than, you know, the act of slavery itself. But I've been your host, Matthew Brown. This has been Benny Chieti. And what I want to leave you guys with, again, educate, agitate, peace, land, and bread, comrades. I really appreciate you guys, and I'll see you all next week.
And one more thing, peace and love to all human beings. Peace and love to everybody on this earth, and treat this earth with respect. You know, take care of take care of your planet, because your home is not just limited to the house that was built for you. This is our planet. This is the place we live in, and make sure you take care of it. Make sure you love another human being like you love yourself. And that's it. Just complete peace, bro.
Yeah, don't litter, jackasses. All right. Have a good one, man.